This series contains themes of an adult nature, including discussions surrounding eating disorders and disordered eating. Listener discretion is advised.
The Right Fit with Valerie McHugh
on iRadio.
Sports and exercise are something most have a shared interest in, but sometimes our mind can create problematic relationships with these things.
Your eating disorder voice tells you that they're just trying to steal me from you.
I used to go running in the dark so no one would see me.
I was the biggest person there, and that's challenging. Like,
every single piece of exercise that I did was like a punishment.
Fitting into the sporting world and being like the people we see online or in our gyms is often something we seek. But is it achievable, or is it simply a myth?
The hospital told me, you actually may never exercise again. I said, well, that's not on the cards.
I would have battled a lot with self-confidence and self-image. So it was kind of an idea of, let's do this because it will make me look better.
But you know, your weight is not your worth.
No one says, oh, you're too big or you're too small for that. No one.
These real stories show that rebuilding our positive relationships with exercise is non-linear, but possible, and can often lead to being our happiest, healthiest selves.
The Right Fit
with Valerie McHugh
on iRadio.
Welcome to episode 3 of The Right Fit. And today I am joined by Emma Kyo, who is a wellness coach, who is a yoga teacher. Emma, I'm listing off all your amazing qualities right here. And particularly, you're a newly qualified yoga teacher, as I mentioned there. And one thing about yoga that's always kind of stuck with me is that it's kind of like meditation for the body. That's what I like to think. It's calming. It's all about endorphins. But body positivity and exercise are also things that go hand in hand with yoga. And you've been speaking on your platform to your followers about how you changed your relationship with exercise a couple of years ago after you found out that you needed to incorporate a slower approach to exercise in your own lifestyle. Talk me through the reasons behind that.
Yeah, and I think like for years as well, Valerie, like I was so focused on my physical self. So just a little bit of background about me. So I was a lot heavier when I was younger. I would have been bullied. I was 16 stone at 16 and I needed to make a change. So I lost that weight through, you know, I went to slimming groups and I got educated about food, because when we were younger, we weren't educated about food and nutrition and everything. So I learned from that. I lost weight from that. I lost nearly 5 stone. And I actually started to incorporate a lifestyle for myself, you know, and educate myself on food, on exercise, things that we didn't really have that much knowledge about. So from that then, I'd say from my teens up until maybe, being honest, last year, I was always go, go, go. I had to, you know, just get the steps in or get my exercise done or just go to the gym, which I really love. I love moving my body. But then I realized last year, on top of my other wellness activities I do myself, I was kind of falling out of love with it, but my body was telling me something.
Yeah.
And my cortisol levels, which I would have got tested because I got like a health check done. My cortisol levels, your stress hormone, was through the roof.
Okay.
And I was going through things myself. So I was like, okay, my body and my hormones need to slow down. What can I do? So even though I thought exercise was good for the endorphins as well, which is amazing, you know, getting the heart rate up is fab, but I don't have to give 100% and push myself to the limit where my body was already in stress and I was adding more stress to it. Instead of saying, be kind to yourself, move, sweat a little, but like you don't push yourself to the limit. So I was in hospital last year with my stomach and I'm very aware. I was like, what's going on? Like, what is this trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. You know, is there something I need to do? So I was like, I'm going to slow down. So instead of me constantly going to the gym, I was like, I got back into yoga again, hot yoga, moved my body. But while moving my body, I felt more connected to my body as well. You know, like I'm a curvy girl, I'm a size 14. And it was just even about breaking down those barriers of, you know, you can be any shape or size doing yoga or working out. I do think that's changed over the years, because so many people, when I was even working out in my 20s, wouldn't go to the gym because you had to be a certain shape or an aesthetic to go there. And it was just the anxiety and the worry from it, where now it's so diverse and exercise is so diverse that you can be any shape, size, gender, whatever it is, and go to the gym and no one looks at you. And the same with yoga. So I started to go inward. and go to the slower pace. You know, I go out on hikes. I get my heart rate up there and I love hiking outdoors. That's a form of exercise.
Yeah.
You know, doing my hot yoga, you know, doing things that set my soul on fire and I'm moving my body and connecting my body at the same time. So that's when obviously I wanted to do yoga teacher training as well for years. Actually, I don't know why I wanted to do it for years, but I wanted that challenge. And being honest as well, Valerie, is like there was 55 people in my yoga training course just in February, right? And that was split into two groups. Mm-hmm. I was, I'm just going to say it, the biggest person there. And that's challenging, like, because the normal aesthetic, just saying for yoga, is slimmer, is slender, is everything like that. So that was a mental challenge for me. But I knew, I more or less knew I was up against that.
Yeah.
But I was up against myself to go, you need to break down those barriers. You need to like break the mold, because I keep saying is yoga is for everybody and exercise is for everybody. So for me, it's challenging my own beliefs and my own self around that and pushing through those barriers to connect back with me and then to share that with other people.
I suppose that story that you tell there about being objectively, if you were to look at a inverted commas size scale, you being on the higher end of it in comparison to other people, like, it's just so interesting and quite sad actually that as a society it's just been bet into all of us that size has got to matter in some way.
Yeah, and that's a big thing as well. I just kept focusing on, I'm the biggest girl here. I'm the biggest girl here, say at the start, because I remember someone said to me on social media going, I've done a yoga course before. I'm just going to let you know, you're going to have triggers.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. But then they did start to creep in. Not necessarily that I was comparing myself, but it was more that because they could do certain moves that I couldn't do. And obviously I was heavier than them, so they are more flexible than me.
Okay.
But that was the reality of it all. But I could still do certain things. But then as the weeks went on, because I'd done 200 hours in 3 weeks, as the weeks went on, I always say people saw me for me, not my way. Do you know, your weight is not your worth. People will see your energy and feel your energy before they look at your figure. They're not going to be like, oh, do you remember her? They'll be like, do you remember how she made me feel? And that's a big thing for me. I like, you know, I know this is terrible, but like when we die, they're not going to be like, do you remember that time she put on a few pounds and she looked horrible in that dress? They're never going to say that about you.
Literally, like you're like speaking the truth, because when has that ever crossed anybody's mind?
Yeah, they're always going to be like, wasn't she amazing? Like she made people feel this way and her laugh. And that's the real truth about you, us as humans.
Yeah.
And even when towards the end, I started to go deeper because we would have had workshops in there. And I stopped and I went to myself, give yourself a pat on the back. Like imagine what you could be in a few weeks or a few months. You're only starting. You're starting this journey. So I started to show myself more compassion, even though like I'm a coach and I'm a teacher. This was something totally new for me. So I had to show myself that compassion, you know, that way. And I think so many other women out there and men struggle with this.
I think that what's interesting about this is that body image issues, basically, that we're talking about here, and you're talking about your experience as someone who's a size 14. I think it's literally across the board. You can be any size and you'll still go into, we'll say something like that or a gym, and you'll be comparing yourself to somebody you saw online or somebody that you see in the class beside you. I would be really tall. I'm generally like a size 8, but it doesn't matter. Whenever I go to the gym, there's still that type of voice in the back of my head going, oh my God, I'm cringing. Oh my God, do I look okay? And it's like as if it's just this societal thing that we've inherited. Yeah. But what's amazing about you is you can identify that and still go, okay, well, I'm going on anyway, which is, you have a phrase like you need to find what triggers you to find your glimmers.
Everything is going to trigger you. Okay. We all have triggers, but try find the glimmers within the triggers. So for me, my body was triggering me, the size that like I felt so big in the yoga course. And then I was like, no, how can I embrace that? How can I turn that to a positive? Yes, it is triggering me and that's okay. I'm allowed to feel my feels. I'm not pushing it to the side. We're allowed to cry. We're allowed to talk about it. We're allowed to recognize it. Mm-hmm. And then we go, okay, how can I turn this around? And then I was like, Emma Thompson always says, my body is like, you know, your body is a vessel. It's beautiful. It holds you accountable for everything. Like it guides you everywhere. Like that is, it's your vessel. It holds you together. It holds your soul, your energy. And it's about thinking like, I've been given this body for a reason, and it's always a project that we're going to work on. And then it's like, I can always work on it. I can develop it. I can grow it. I'm healthy. I'm only learning. So it's being kind and compassion and showing all those things to yourself in order to navigate you through the triggers and understand yourself. Because like the thing is, we're always, life is a journey. It's not a destination. We're always learning. Like it's a roller coaster. You're up, you're down, you're in, you're out. But you're always learning. So just be like, I'm just learning about me. And then something that was a trigger for you might not be anymore because you're understanding yourself.
What was the reason why you decided to be a yoga teacher in the first place? Was it to help other people? Was it to help yourself?
The reason behind why I did it is for me. So all my courses and college and diplomas, it all starts with me. And that's being honest. I never, ever do anything just to be like, make a buck from it or to help other people as well. I always start with myself. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was to really develop myself mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, to connect more with the slower pace, to connect more with myself. And then the stigma and the boundaries, kind of break them around body shapes for yoga as well. Because I'm just going to say it, the majority of yoga teachers are all slim. They're all very, you know, they're lean, beautiful bodies. There's a certain type. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like, I wanted to just do that for myself and challenge myself. I just wanted to do the course. Obviously, to say I'm a yoga teacher now, at the moment, I'm not teaching because I'm allowing myself now to integrate that. Mm-hmm. I'm allowing myself that time for a few months, few weeks, like to integrate my practice, to be comfortable, to be confident. And then when I feel that, then I'm able to give back because I like to give to myself before I give to others.
What would you say to someone now that's thinking they might like try yoga? Because as you said, like it can be classed as like a slower approach to exercise. Mm-hmm. Still really good for you though, not even just for your mental health, but for your body too. What would you say if there's someone kind of thinking maybe yoga could be for me?
Yeah, I think it's like if you've ever just wanted to move your body and just stretch and connect to your body and learn to like, you know, wake yourself up, whether it's, you know, slowing down in the evening time or waking yourself up. There's so many different, you know, forms you can do, but it's just about connecting with your body and it's mindfulness within it. You're just in flow. It's stopping your mind and just moving your body and it's all with your breath. So mm-hmm. like you're inhaling for each pose and you're connecting to you. It's allowing yourself that space as well, because if you find you're on a treadmill, you're either on your phone, you're watching Netflix, you're thinking, but when you practice yoga, you're with yourself. You're not even thinking of your thoughts because you're moving your body. You're in flow and you're thinking of your breath and you're connecting to yourself, mind, body and spirit.
That's such a wonderful way to like look at it. And what a wonderful way to incorporate movement and your body in something mm-hmm. like that. Like it's like a double whammy. It's like good yeah. for you in all ways. But what would you say to someone who might be feeling the same way as you, like going along to a yoga class and not feeling for whatever reason, maybe 100% comfortable in their body? Yeah.
Know that like no one's looking at you. Like the only person that's judging you is you. No one else cares in the room. Do you know that way? Because for years I used to go to classes and be like, oh my God, they're looking at me. No, sorry to say, they're actually not looking at you. They're actually worried about themselves. Yeah. So when you think other people are going to be looking at you, they're actually not. They're focusing on themselves and everybody is there for a reason. You know that way? This, don't let other people, you know, thoughts, don't let the thoughts come in, because like this is your life. So if you want to go to a yoga class, go to a yoga class. You're letting thoughts literally rule your life. So a big thing for me is don't be the passenger in your life. Be the driver of your life and just rock up and do whatever it is you want to do, because no one's watching you. No one cares.
Emma, what wise words to live by, and the perfect way, in fact, to finish this series. Emma Keogh, thank you so much for sharing your story with me. It's been so inspiring. And to Sheila Naughton and Mark Donnelly as well, who also shared their journeys in the last two episodes. And if you at home have been affected by the issues raised today and in this series overall, you can free phone the Samaritans on 116123 for confidential, non-judgmental support. And other resources are also listed over at HS.
rse.ie. You can listen back to this series over on iradio.ie by searching The Right Fit.
The Right Fit with Valerie McHugh
on iRadio.